This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is sponsored by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
I do a lot of time blocking and like organizing just my weeks, like down to the hour, just to make sure that I can...
Just so you don't make yourself crazy. You don't know which direction to turn, right?
Yeah, but it is true that like, you know, I'm working on a bunch of different things at once. And they're all different, you know, they're not related necessarily. So it,
right.
It does require a lot of planning and thinking. And
yeah, but if you don't block it out, you're never going to give that project the time that it's due.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just the nature of what I'm doing, you know, sometimes I'll need to make quicker turnarounds, whereas other times I'll be working with someone and there's no urgency. So
right.
You have to do a lot of...
Could be a current blog post. They want to get it out, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, it could be, you know, maybe they have some type of a deadline with a self-publisher, or they, you know, want to get a book out. So, you know, I do a lot of things by deadline. So that kind of dictates my work schedule too.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that people, they would be better off if they manage their time, like you were saying, in terms of blocking their time out. Like they don't, I mean, they'll have a list of stuff to do, but they don't schedule it. So you get to the office or wherever our office is these days, and your day goes by and you look and you still have your list in front of you. You haven't done anything on your list because you're just dealing with the phones ringing, the prop, right? Everybody's calling you. Like when I'm working on something, I don't answer the phone. If I block that time out, you know, I mean, if it's my wife, I'll answer the phone, the kids. But if it's a client, I mean, if it's that important, they'll send me an email, they'll text me, they'll keep calling me, and then I'll know that they're going crazy and I'll have to answer the phone.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Hey everyone, it's Mitch, your host, and welcome to today's show. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lindsay Mack, and I'm the owner of Lindsay Noel Publishing Services. I'm a freelance writer, proofreader, and book marketer. I live in Wayne, New Jersey, and I actually grew up there. And now I live there with my husband and my dog and two cats.
All right, Lindsay. So thanks for coming on the podcast. I know we spoke a little while ago, but I was excited to have you on and talk about what you do. But we'll talk a little bit about where you're from, because I know you're from Wayne. I grew up in the area too. And you'll tell me about your background. But then I also want to get into, you know, all the stuff that you do, because I think one of the problems for business owners is coming up with content. Like they just struggle, you know, especially whether it's online or for menus or for an ad or, you know, of writing an ebook. I mean, it's a struggle for a lot of people. So we'll talk about that, but maybe you can get into growing up in Wayne and how you got into, you know, writing, and I guess you're probably a journalism major or something like that, right? Like an English major. So tell me about your background.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's really exciting to be here.
Thanks.
I grew up in Wayne, as you mentioned. My dad is actually an educational published author. So growing up, I grew up in the home with him where he was an adjunct professor and he was teaching his book. I grew up, in an environment where I was always, in the publishing world. So when I went to college, I decided I wanted to major in journalism and communications and then go off into working in the publishing industry. So that's kind of how I ended up in publishing. I first worked in editorial in an educational publisher for a number of years, which was a really great experience.
Was that textbooks or was it?
Yeah, so it was actually textbooks and then textbook supplements, so like PowerPoints and different things that go along with the books.
Okay. Probably less books around nowadays. They're getting digital, right? They're all online and stuff.
Yeah, and when I worked there, everything was more primarily print, but they were starting to transition to ebooks.
Slow. More.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But then, after a number of years, I ended up moving into trade publishing, which are, your traditional books that you find at Barnes & Noble and on Amazon. I did that for a number of years, and I moved into a marketing role, which was really fun and exciting. And I worked on nonfiction health and lifestyles books.
Okay. So when you were doing trade publications, what industries were you working on?
A wide range of things, everything from diet and fitness to cooking, professional organizing. There were some business titles, parenting, wide range of titles.
So were you writing things for them? Were you editing it? How was it working?
So actually at that point I was doing marketing. So there was actually different people at the publishing company that would do the editorial work. Yeah. But once the book was ready to go out and get, all the...
You were marketing it to get people to read it and buy it and so forth.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was doing more...
An important skill, by the way.
Yes, definitely. I was getting the, the marketing plans together and implementing it and helping the author, do his own marketing or his or her own marketing on their own too. And that was really fun because, I started off in editorial and now I got to see marketing. So I got to see, both sides of the...
Yeah, if you write a book, nobody reads it, kind of a waste.
Yeah, and I definitely think that's a thing that, especially with a lot more people self-publishing these days.
Right.
A lot of people are so focused on getting the book out, but then, once the book is out there, you need to help other people learn about it. So marketing is a really key thing that's kind of overlooked a lot.
Definitely. Okay. So then I interrupted you. So after that, you went on to, what did you say?
So I worked in trade publishing and marketing. After a number of years, going back to, my dad being a professor, I'd always also really been interested in teaching. So I ended up getting a teaching degree and I went into teaching for a number of years.
Elementary school or?
Yeah. So I was actually teaching elementary school. I did a couple of different grades, but, really young children. And I was then, teaching reading and writing.
Sure.
So it's kind of a different side of, seeing what books kids liked and helping them with reading skills and writing.
Right. Well, but it's important.
Yeah. So that was really, it was really interesting. And it complemented kind of what I've been doing at the publishing company. But, what I always kind of came back to as I was teaching was I really missed, I loved teaching, but I really missed actually working on the books.
Right.
So after a number of years, I decided that I wanted to go back into publishing, but I decided I wanted to go off on my own. And that's how I ended up, doing freelance writing, proofreading, and book marketing, because I had all these skills.
Right. So you left teaching completely.
Yeah. So I left teaching completely and went back to publishing, but on my own and, helping using all these skills that I had from working in publishing. Have found that my teaching degree experience has really helped me because I'm able to really effectively coach authors. There's a lot of people who've worked in publishing or have, really great writing or proofreading skills, but not a lot of people have actually taught. I think I bring, that uniqueness to whenever I'm working with a client.
Okay. So, and you work on a lot of books for children or, trade publications in the educational space or?
So I work on primary, anything that comes my way. So I'll work on any type of book. I do get a lot of self-published authors coming to me, especially with, self-published authors being on their own. They really need some guidance. especially when it comes to things like book marketing.
Sure.
But I have, you know, I've worked with authors who are doing children's books. I've worked on, you know, educational content for like, you know, test programs.
Got it.
Nonfiction, novels, biographies, really a wide range of things. And I think that's one of the exciting parts of being freelance is you get, you know, to work on a bunch of different things. You learn a lot of new things. You meet a lot of new people.
Right. So do you work with, you work with a fair amount of small business owners, helping them with content and on the marketing side?
Yes, so that's the other part of my business, which is also really important. And I think there's a really big need for, you know, writing and proofreading services, you know, especially if you don't have somebody on staff to help you with copywriting or with proofreading, or maybe, you know, you're not happy with your own, you know, skills, but you have a lot of expertise that you want to share with others.
Right. Well, most business owners, they don't certainly don't have a copywriter on staff.
Yeah. And even just the time to, you know, it takes a lot of time to write content. So I do help small business owners as well.
Yeah.
And especially if, you know, a lot of people have ideas of, you know, okay, I would like to write an article about, you know, these top five, you know, points about my business. I can kind of mold it and get it ready for them. And then they could add some of their own touches to it to make it sound like it's in their voice.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a big key to being a good copywriter is to be able to write kind of in the style that the person, you know, so it reflects on them. You're not trying to reflect on you. So, and I think it's hard when you're a business owner, like you get an article done or whatever, but to do it on a regular basis is difficult when you're not a writer, when you're not an English person, you know what I mean? I mean, we're all English people. That sounds funny, but you know what I mean? Like, so where you're not used to doing that. I mean, I like doing the podcast. You come on and we're doing an interview. We're having a good time. We're talking and everything. It's great. I don't need to prepare anything. I want to admit that on the mic, but you know, you gave me your bio. I know your background. We're having a conversation, but I'm writing a book right now, for example, with a friend of mine who is he's a PR guy. So he wanted to write, he's writing these series of books. So it's like, you know, 10 ways to do whatever. So maybe it's 10 ways to groom your cat. So he's working with a person who has cats and, you know, 10 ways to cook a hot dog. I'm making that up. I don't know what his books are about, but this is one about being a lawyer, 10 ways to get sued. I forget what we're working on. And it's like pulling teeth from me. It's like pulling my teeth. I write stuff. I'm like, I write a paragraph. Oh, that's good. He's like, a paragraph. We need pages.
Yeah.
So then, oh, add this in. Think of an example here. You know what I mean? Do you find that you have to like kind of pull it out of your client, pull it out of them?
Yeah, no, I think that's there's a couple of things that you said that really, you know, speak to me. And, you know, the first is just, you know, finding the time and the focus to get the work done. Like it takes so much time to do, especially if you are writing a book.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time and focus and energy. And, you know, it's very easy to get distracted and, you know,
Like maybe you could sit down and write a 20-page article. I have to like block out time on my calendar. I lose my mind.
Yeah. And then
I don't know.
And there's also a lot of, you know, people who, you know, have kind of, you know, want to share expertise, maybe like, let's say like a professional organizer, maybe you want to like share like, you know, your top tips for, you know, organizing your closet, but they don't really like writing or they don't have the time to.
Yeah, they can't organize it. Like in their head, it's fine. They could talk about it. But if you take what I'm saying and you put it on paper, it might make no sense.
Yeah, exactly. And even just like kind of wanting to leverage their, you know, their expertise and their business, but not being able to kind of execute it. So I could definitely help with those things as well.
Communication, right, is the biggest key.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So did you always find like this came naturally to you when you were younger? Like you were always a good writer and things like that? Like one of my daughters is a big creative writer and the other two, my son and my other daughter, they don't really want to do so much like, but she writes these stories that sound like, I should show you some of them. She submitted the story a couple of years ago on her own to some international creative writing story contest. And out of 1,500 kids, she doesn't know exactly where she finished, but she certainly finished in the top 15 because she asked back. It's like a page and a half or whatever. Just this, I don't know what goes through her head. She just sits down and she writes these creative stories. But I don't know, people like have a knack. Like you've always had a knack for that kind of writing, right?
Yeah, that's really nice to hear about your children.
I'll send it to you after the podcast.
Great. I've just always had like natural writing and proofreading skills. I definitely, you know, as far as my writing goes, I'd say I'm more of like a nonfiction person.
Well, that helps because of the field you're working in.
That's where I think, you know, that's where I do the best work. But I've just always found those skills really natural. And then I've always just really been drawn to things like that. Like when I was a little girl, I used to also make little books and stuff on my computer. Yeah,
right.
And, you know, I had like a few series. Like I read like almost every Nancy Drew book and like the Boxcar Children.
Yeah, all those. Yeah, the Boxcar. I used to read the books to them. That's a good series.
Yeah, it was so great too, is having, you know, been in teaching. Like a lot of these books are still read in the schools. Like,
yeah,
the school library has all these books that, you know, I was reading as a little girl. It's really neat that they're still, you know, they're just classics.
Yeah. Plus, the cost of movie making changed everything. So all these books become movies. So the kids see the movies and they read the books, you know, and it kind of carries over. But I think it's funny because I don't know if I told you the story, but so my daughter wanted a typewriter, right? So she wanted to type her own things. She didn't want to do it on the computer. She wanted that experience of like pushing the keys, you know, the whole thing. So she does all of her research and she finds this, like, it wasn't an old typewriter. It was like a retro version of a typewriter. It was the color of my shirt. So the typewriter had this plastic cover on it and it had the keys, you know, like if you type too fast, they get stuck on the thing and you had to like white it out. Right. So I said to her, that's great. I'm surprised you don't want to get like electric typewriter. Like she spent all this research. She spent her Hanukkah money on it. She was so mad at me that I didn't tell her that electric typewriters existed. Like how she didn't come across this in her research. I don't know. She was so mad. She was, cause the keys were getting stuck all the time. And she goes, they make electric typewriters. I'm like, yeah, we have plumbing in the house too. So it was funny that she had like looked for this thing and she thought that was going to be the retro thing and she could have gotten an electric typewriter. It would have been a lot easier typing along and everything like that. But
yeah, no, it's funny too. Sometimes I think about like writing a book many years ago before computers, like, and just like
how by hand, right?
You have to actually get any, you know, written work. And if you mess up and you have to change something,
what you have to do, yeah. Write out, right? So I learned to type in eighth grade. We had those old black typewriters. Remember those things? You're like, you break your knuckles while you're typing and then you have to push the thing over at the end to return. Yeah. It was like the real days of being like a reporter. Like, but they make keyboards now that are like mechanical keyboards. They like feel like a typewriter. And my son said, they're great. I have no idea why somebody would do that, but have you heard about those?
No, actually I've never.
They're like mechanical keyboards. So that when you type, it feels like you're typing on a typewriter.
Oh, neat. Okay.
Like, I don't know what there must be some psychological philosophy behind that.
Huh. Okay. No, I don't know.
Yeah. And an extra keyboard, you spend money for no reason. So something to research after the podcast. But anyway, so we were talking about writing books. So have you ever like written a book for somebody where you literally had to sit with them and they had to dictate the book? And because I know some people want to get books out, they can't even write. They just don't want to do it.
So I haven't actually worked on a book where I had to, you know, do that much handholding. But I have done articles for small business owners who, you know, they would actually give me the information over the phone and I would type it and then write it for them.
Topic in their business or something like that.
Exactly. Like, okay, these are the four things I want to talk about. These are like the main points I want to discuss, but like I've made it into more, you know, writing form and into a blog post for them.
Right. Yeah. They don't know what to do with the content. So, and then you deal with all the posting and everything too. Or no?
No. So usually, you know, if it's a small boat business owner, they either have their own blog that they're posting it on, they have like some type of a guest blog arrangement with the blog that they're submitting to.
So you send the information to them and they submit it wherever they're submitting it.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. What, do you remember some of the topics you've written on?
Yeah. So as far as, you know, blogging, I've done some children's meditation. I've done wedding content. Some divorce.
Like in a wedding, like a magazine or like about someone else's wedding?
Like wedding planning.
Oh, okay.
That was really fun. And some of them, you know, some of the topics are fun because like, you know, for example, the wedding planning, like I brought my own experience from when I planned my wedding to it.
Right. Exactly.
I do try to stay away from anything that's too technical or that I need like the background knowledge.
Yeah. Like you had to do tons of research to learn and then you're still not sure if you're doing it right. Right.
Yeah. Like I don't think I'd be a great fit for, you know, writing articles about some type of a computer tech topic that I'm just not, I don't have the background knowledge.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But you know, there's a lot of things like, you know, parenting or lifestyle things, you know, that I, you know, I can use my own background knowledge mixed with, you know, the person's web content and, you know, doing research online that I can kind of put something together.
anything that was like so boring that you, I shouldn't ask you that, because you'll say it and then the people will be like, oh, my article was boring.
I really never worked on anything boring. Everything I've worked on has been really interesting. And, you know, as I mentioned, you know, I think part of what I really like about what I do is that I am working on so many different things. And, you know, for example, I worked on a sports biography.
Oh.
And that was, you know, I'm not really a huge sports person, but I found that really interesting because I was learning about somebody's life that I didn't know about. And, you know, so things like that too, that, you know, I find things that I never would have thought that I would be interested in, and, you know, just learn new information about it, which is
so great. That one, but sports biography, you got to sit down and take notes and learn about his life or her life, right?
So that one I was actually doing more editorial work. So the writing was done, but he just...
So this person would write whatever they're writing, stream of consciousness, then you would clean it up and...
Exactly. Yeah. I would do some more like proofreading and make sure there's no grammatical errors or proofreading, you know, typos or anything. But, you know, I thought that was really interesting. And so I always, you know, I'm really open to new topics and, you know, whatever comes my way. And I also, since I have the education background, I do find things that are educational really interesting. So I worked on some like science content for an elementary school.
For like textbook stuff or?
Yeah. So I do like some stuff like that. You know, I do some proofreading in that area.
Right.
I'm definitely, you know, really interested in my business growing that area of more educational materials too.
Sure. Was it hard to walk away from I mean, how long did you teach? How many years?
I was only teaching a couple of years.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like you're teaching 17 years and then you're walking away from,
No, I mean, I definitely, there's a lot of things I really miss about it. But I, you know, I felt like my calling was going back to books and, you know, I think I take my teaching with me now by trying to do presentations about publishing topics. You know, recently I did a small business owners presentation where I was teaching business owners about, you know, using writing in their business plan.
Right.
You know, I'm finding I still do a lot of teaching and coaching in what I'm doing, which is really
exciting. But not to kids.
Exactly. Yeah. To, you know, adults who are writing.
Yeah. Well, when you were teaching, you taught elementary school?
Yeah, I taught elementary school.
Yeah, so you have to teach everything in elementary school. You're a generalist teacher. You can't, like, teach English. You're not the English teacher. You're the everything teacher for the most part.
Yeah, no, exactly. When I was teaching elementary school, I was teaching math, science, writing, reading.
Right.
Really everything. So yes. it was really a really great experience. And, you know, but I think that I found through that I really am drawn to reading and writing. Kind of how I got back to what I'm doing.
Yeah, because you kept finding yourself back there. I've always been a decent reader, but I don't really read too much anymore. Now I like listen to audible books all the time. Like I, because I'm always reading contracts. Like I can draft a contract. I'm good at that. But in terms of like, you know, writing, it's terrible, I think. And then I listen to books because, I mean, I can read books. I'm not saying I can't read, but I just find it more productive to listen to the books in the car and stuff. So if you have a book and it's not an audible, I might have trouble, you know, following it. Like even on Kindle is basically the same as reading. So that's why I'm a podcast person, because it's audible and I can listen to it.
Yeah. I mean, it is hard to find the time to read. And so I think that's why a lot of people do love, you know, podcasts and audio books, to your point. You know, it's something that they can do while they're, you know, traveling or in the car or doing other things, and they can just put it on in the background, but they're still, you know, hearing it. But they're, you know, it's what's so great that there's so many more forms of books now.
Now, you consider yourself a fast reader, though? I mean, like, I know people that read, they're reading 5-10 books a week. I'm like, I can't read 5-10 books in a year. Maybe not a year, but you know what I mean? I could read a book a week would be a lot.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I don't do a lot of reading on my own for pleasure, and it's because I have to read for what I'm doing.
Yeah, like me too, right? It's like, who wants to read outside of work when you're reading inside of work, right?
So, yeah, but I do think I do read fast just because I'm constantly reading things and proofreading things and rewriting things. So I just, since it's like my day to day.
Right.
I have developed, you know, the ability to do that quickly, but unfortunately, you know, I don't have a lot of time to read independent of my work.
Yeah, because you're busy, right? It fills your head. You can't fill your head with too much stuff. Like if I'm reading a lot of stuff, then I don't remember the contracts that I'm writing for my clients, you know?
So. Yeah, and any time I'm, working on a book where I, especially if I'm going to do some type of marketing, I try to read as much of it as possible. And, even just doing that, that takes a lot of time, especially if you're working with a few people at once.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that. So you're working with multiple things at different times. So you could be working on a book for a while, and then you got to switch gears and start working on an article for a whole different company or person or whatever, and then come back to it.
Exactly.
That's hard. I think it's hard. Maybe it's me. Yeah. But I guess maybe you get used to it. I guess I do that as a lawyer. I got to work on one client's thing, and then I got to do a will over here, and then I got to do agreement over here. So yeah, I guess it's the same thing. But it seems like if you're writing a book, you're like immersed in it, or an article. I guess, I don't know. Do you have like a process that you use, you think, when you write all the time? Like it's a certain process, even if it's subconscious, I'm just saying, in terms of how you go through it?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I do a lot of time blocking. So I'll say okay, from these hours, I'm going to work on work for this client. These hours, and we work on a different client. I do a lot of time blocking and organizing just my weeks, down to the hour, just to make sure that I can.
Just so you don't make yourself crazy. You don't know which direction to turn, right?
Yeah. And then I have if I'm working with a client, I have really organized files on my computer and the hard copy. And, I have everything in one place so that I can very easily go, and grab, somebody else's project. But it is true that I'm working on a bunch of different things at once. And they're all different, they're not related necessarily. So it does require a lot of planning and thinking. And
yeah, but if you don't block it out, you're never going to give that project the time that it's due.
Yeah, exactly. And, just the nature of what I'm doing, sometimes I'll need to make quicker turnarounds, whereas other times I'll be working with someone and there's no urgency. So you have to do a lot of.
Could be a current blog post. They want to get it out, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or, it could be, maybe they have some type of a deadline with a self-publisher, or they, want to get a book out. So, I do a lot of things by deadline. So that kind of dictates my work schedule too.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you find that, I just lost my train of thought. Do you find that when you're working on something, if you don't, I know what I was going to say. I find that people, they would be better off if they manage their time, like you were saying, in terms of blocking their time out. They'll have a list of stuff to do, but they don't schedule it. So you get to the office or wherever our office is these days, and your day goes by and you look and you still have your list in front of you. You haven't done anything on your list because you're just dealing with the phones ringing, right? Everybody's calling you. When I'm working on something, I don't answer the phone. If I block that time out, if it's my wife, I'll answer the phone, the kids. But if it's a client, if it's that important, they'll send me an email, they'll text me, they'll keep calling me, and then I'll know that they're going crazy and I'll have to answer the phone. But for the most part, if I don't do that, I'm working on projects right now. I probably did four of them before you called. I'm I don't know which way to turn. Because it's just one of those days. But I think that's good advice. I know it has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but it's good advice for people in terms of managing their time and getting things done, to block time out and say, okay, especially when it comes to writing, and creating content, because I think that, first of all, if you don't know them that well, you do want them to give you something, right? Because you can get a flavor for the kind of person they are and not change it too much. And they're like, oh, they didn't write this. You ever see something when you know the person, you're like, there's no way they wrote this.
Yeah. And I think that's, kind of what I was saying, any blog content that I do, I think it's really great when, the person who I'm writing for goes in after and kind of make some changes to make it more in their voice, but at least they have the skeleton of what they're going to be writing.
Yeah.
But I definitely agree that also, when I'm a lot of time, just kind of the nature of the kind of work I'm doing, if I'm blocking my time out to work on a project, I might not answer my phone, but it's because I have to, I need to focus on that client's work. And then,
You lose your train of thought, and then whatever's coming flowing out of your head, it stops. That's not good.
Yeah, and exactly. And this kind of work I'm doing, it takes me more time if I stop and then come back to it. Like if I'm in the middle of what I'm doing and I'm in the zone, it's really helpful to kind of come back, especially if it's not urgent.
Do you ever suffer from total writer's block? Like you sit down for the day, you're like, oh my God, I can't think of anything to write. I rarely have that happen.
Yeah, I guess I don't really have that happen too much.
You're so used to writing, probably.
Yeah, no, I'm so used to writing, and I'm kind of always thinking.
Yeah.
So I always have a lot of ideas and
I definitely have that problem. Like I'll be working on a contract for somebody. I'll get to the office and be like, I cannot work on this today. I can't think of anything to say. I don't know what I want to do. And I got to give it another day and let my brain cook a little bit. Cause I just, you know, it's just different for me. But what kind of projects are you working on now? Like in terms of industries or.
So I'm starting to work on an academic book, but I'm doing more marketing related to someone's business. But they have an academic title, which is tied into their business. And I'm going to do some local reach for them. So I'm really excited about that. I'm also starting to work with another self-published author, kind of similar, has a business that's related to her book.
Right.
And is self-published and, you know, needs help getting the word out about the book. There's a lot of, you know, self-published authors who, you know, need assistance because they're on their own and they don't really, you know, they need some guidance and even just, you know, helping hands to
right.
get some good ideas. And, you know, I've done things, you know, in pre-COVID, a lot of like event setup, you know, so if somebody wanted to do like library events or school visits, different things like that. I've done, you know, solicited book reviews for authors, help them with their social media. So there's a lot of different ways I can work with authors. But I'm, you know, I do find that, you know, self-published authors really, you know, benefit from working with me because they have some expert, you know, knowledge and guidance and just even just the, you know, the help.
Right. Right. Well, if you were the big publisher, they have copywriters and editors, right. And things like that.
Yeah. So it depends on the publishing company, but a lot of times they have, you know, some type of marketing or publicity person that helps you. But the author does still do a lot of it on their own.
Yeah.
You know, but they do have somebody to, you know, kind of hold their hand more and that does some implementing. But yeah, when you're self-published, you usually either have to hire someone or if you have a small business, you might have marketing staff that helps you kind of blend it into your business. And so it kind of depends case by case. But I do think there's, with so many people self-publishing, there's a lot of, you know, great things that I can help authors with.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So when somebody wants to self-publish, like what constitutes self-publishing? Obviously, if you're with Simon & Schuster, you're not self-publishing. So they're a publishing house. But is it me creating an ebook and then I'm just sending it out to people? Am I getting it printed and bound somewhere? I mean, what's self-publishing involve and entail?
Great question. So self-publishing can be just an ebook. It could be a print and ebook, or it could be just a print book. There's a bunch of different self-publishing tools, you know, like things like Amazon.
So you can self-publish a book to Amazon.
Exactly. Yep. You can self-publish to Amazon. You could self-publish to, there's a bunch of different platforms, so that's not the only one.
So you submit it to them. They don't obviously put anything up, so they got to approve the book or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So a lot of, in those cases, you know, and a lot of people are doing that now, you know, using the self-published platforms. But the author, you know, is in charge of getting everything, you know, proofread and if
right.
you need illustrations, the author works on that or have, you know, hires an illustrator. But they, you know, get the files kind of ready with the self-publisher, and then the self-publisher, you know, would take care of the actual, you know, printing or the distribution of the ebook or whatever, you know, package they have with them.
So you are going to a publisher, but they're like a self-publishing house. And is it print on demand? Like, I mean, am I ordering 1,000 books and then I got to ship them out when somebody buys them on Amazon? Or is it all behind the scenes taken care of as the orders are placed?
So it depends on the self-publisher. There are some that do the print on demand. And I think a lot of people do that just for the, you know, the cost.
Yeah, because a lot of books are really content marketing. You're not going to become an acclaimed author or you be on the New York Times bestseller list.
There's a lot of people that are looking to leverage their expertise, like, you know, through a business or something where maybe they want to give out a book to a client or kind of what you're saying.
Just makes them look like an expert, right?
Yeah. And it gives them like, you know, something that they can hand out to a client or maybe like if they do like a lot of talks on like, you know, presentations, they can sell them there or they can include it in part of the, you know, the admission price. So, you know, there's a lot of people doing those kinds of things, but, you know, all the self-publishers have different options, you know, so it kind of depends on what you're looking for, but some are print on demand, others, you know, you'll have, you know, 1,000 copies or however
like
many.
A minimum, copies. Right. So exactly. It depends on the package that you're like buying into, so to speak.
Exactly. Yep. And then, you know, some of them will store them for you. Others, you know, I know authors who've had them, you know, in their living room.
Yeah, like boxes and boxes of books, right?
Yeah,
I wouldn't want that. Like, what? My wife would be like, "What the hell are we doing this?" Ah, a book. Great, get them out of my house. You know?
So yeah,
then you got to ship them yourself, right? So you don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly. Like some self-publishing, you know, platforms will mail it for you. Others, you know, you'll exactly like you have to take care of the shipping. So it really just depends. But those are some of the things that somebody who's thinking about self-publishing has to do that research and learn about all those different things and figure out like what works for them. Because, you know, somebody might have no problem mailing their book. Another person might be like exactly to your point, like, I don't want to
be involved at all.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't have time. And that's just not appealing to me. So,
they can go on the web and do a search for self-publishers and look at different ones. And I'm sure Amazon has a whole fulfillment process, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Amazon's really, really popular. There's other ones, like there's one called Book Baby, Ingram Spark. So there's a bunch, but there's even like smaller, you know, more like mom and pop, you know, self-publishing houses that do, you know, more hands-on work. That's not like a big company.
Right. And you're a smaller author and you get a little bit more attention than Amazon. They don't really care too much about you.
But the thing is that, you know, like more people are doing that because it's easier than, you know, jumping through the hoops of trying to find a publisher that wants to.
Right. Amazon probably does turnkey, right? If they accept your book, you pay them a fee, or I don't know how it works. And plus a lot more people are searching on Amazon. So if they're looking for your book, probably the first place they go is to Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is really important to be on Amazon, but yeah, to your point, like, you know, it just takes away like the time that it would take to try to find a publisher to publish it.
Right.
And even it is difficult to get published. So, you know, not everyone who, you know, works on a book manuscript for a publishing house, you know, can find someone to publish it, or it takes years. So a lot of people are turning to self-publishing.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think it's not like people like think they're going to write a book. They're going to go to some publishing house. They're going to give $1 million advance and then they'll publish their book and they'll be famous like, you know, James Patterson. And it's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, I think there's like some myths around, you know, the actual realities of publishing. You know, it does, you know, some books take off for just, you just never know what will take
right.
off.
Like business too. It's probably a level of percentage of success, right? It's probably very small relative to the number, especially nowadays, there's even more books that are published because it's easier to publish books.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSite. You do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSite and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable, and most of all, help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
Yeah, and I definitely think that, you know, publishing a book for your business is a good idea because you already have, you know, some built-in buyers, you know, through your clients and
right. Well, that's the thing. It's content marketing. I think if people think about what you do, you know, copywriting, writing a book, writing an article, it's all content marketing. It's to drive people to their websites and to see you as I won't call it an expert, a knowledgeable person in your field, whether it's business law. Do you write for yourself? Do you write about what you do and use it as content?
Yeah.
To promote your services?
It's funny. It's kind of like what I was saying about reading. Like, I feel like I find that I spend so much time working on other people's content that I don't spend a lot of time working on my own.
Right.
So I actually don't, but one of the things I've been working on, you know, in the quarantine and like just like having more time now, I am working on more content marketing for myself. So I'm planning to, starting in September, I'm going to be launching some new things and working on some new projects.
Yeah, I want to teach people how to start to create content for themselves. Then they can come to you for the editing and the tips, and maybe you could do an online course or videos. You know, it doesn't have to be live.
Yeah.
You can teach people how to be better writers. You know what I mean? Because it's definitely a learned skill. I mean, I'm not saying that there is a certain extent to having a knack for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But some of it can be taught. I mean, to the point where you get good enough that they can produce something that you can work with, you know? And I think there's that opportunity out there to be a, maybe you could write a book on how to write a book. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sure,
no,
there's books like that, right?
Yeah.
Write a book.
A big thing right now is like book coaching. So it's, you know, similar. It's like,
I've been getting some emails about that lately. You want to get published? Attend our live seminar. I'm like, okay, no, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, book coaching is becoming a really popular thing because there's a lot of authors, kind of what you were saying about how, you know, just finding the time and, you know, the structure of, you know.
Right. So their 90-day challenge. They want to come to do our course and you'll have a book in 90 days.
Yeah.
You'll lose your job and your wife won't talk to you anymore, but you'll have a book.
Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. You get a little immersed in what you're doing. But you're right. That's the problem is that we have limited. I just was wondering if you'd are also doing your own marketing for the stuff. But it's like, you know, that's right. You walk around, you get a hole in your shoe and you're a shoemaker. You're like, I'll worry about my shoes later. I got to do my client's shoes because they pay me to do that. I'll walk around with a hole in my shoe. It's okay.
I do spend, you know, I try to give my clients, everybody I'm working with, like above and beyond my attention and just my focus. And I spend a lot of time working with them that I do sometimes, you know, I do feel like I don't work on my business a lot.
Right.
But I do, you know, some things I have done that, you know, kind of align with what you were saying. I taught some workshops last fall in person. One was like a book publishing overview. So I went into like self-publishing and then the actual like traditional publishing route.
Right. The people that don't understand a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. And I got a really, really great feedback from it. I actually just heard from someone recently who took the workshop and she's was working on a children's book and she didn't really know where to start. And she was like, oh, like, you know, the class is so helpful. And she's now working on her illustrations and she's picking out her self-publisher.
Oh, wow.
So it was really exciting to hear from her recently and, you know, that she's, you know, almost done. And I can't wait to see her book come out.
Yeah.
But I've also recently been getting interest from libraries for that idea of kind of like an overview of self-publishing and publishing and then like writer's tips and like tips for, you know, kind of, you know, how to actually make the book and like how to be a writer. Exactly. Like, you know, how to set the schedule and how to edit your own work. And I'm doing a library talk in August on that. And I actually just got interest in doing another one in the fall. So I think that's something I'm going to be doing more of.
Definitely. Well, you always hear when you hear, I do this all the time in the podcast. I hear a story. I'm like, it's definitely a book in there, but they don't know like how to get started or what to do or how to approach it or from an organized, you know, from a, without being all over the place.
Yeah. And I think it's sometimes just so overwhelming to people. They have like all these great ideas, but it's like, it's almost easier not to work on it.
Yeah. It's too overwhelming. How do you organize it? Where do you start? How do you build it? You know, that type of stuff.
Yeah. I definitely recommend, you know, I always recommend to authors I'm talking to, or, you know, anyone who says that they're, you know, they have an idea and they always wanted to work on it, but they never get the time. You know, making some type of like a writing schedule. Cause even if you just take like a half hour a day or, you know, an hour,
you'd be surprised how far you get, you know?
Yeah. And like, you know, if you add that up by a couple months, you could have your book ready. And even just like, I think sometimes we think of like the big picture of like the whole book and that's overwhelming.
Right.
But if you take like, okay, today I'm just going to work on the outline, or I'm going to work on research, or, you know, one chapter, you know, break it down into like small manageable pieces. It's like less overwhelming.
Yeah.
You get like better results and you have more fun with it.
All right. What else I was going to tell you? Oh, I want to mention this because this will be out in the fall anyway. So there's a new, hopefully they're still my sponsors. I have a new sponsor. It's called Royalty.
Okay.
So what it is it's a platform for basically for posting. It's like a CRM, right? So you have these client management systems and then you send out email campaigns, whatever. But I think what's interesting in terms of you is that it allows people to post things on a regular basis, but they don't make the content. Okay. You can get it from the company. I mean, they'll tell you things like sometimes not related, but it's law, but it's not related to what I do. I might post it. But what I'm saying is that it might be things that people can use. Like you can make the content and then they click a button and it goes on all their websites and whatever, you know, and their social media posting. That's always the biggest problem is getting the posts up.
Yeah. Okay. That's great to know.
Because you don't do that for them.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. I'll definitely have to check that out. It's interesting that they're one of your.
And I think they even have an agency version where you can have clients and you can say, "Listen, I'll do the blogs and I'll do the writing and the posts, and then when you see them, you just got to click on them and go to wherever they're going. You choose LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
but no, I definitely think that like a lot of people want to use content, whether it's like blog posts or social media, and
right,
you know. To your point, it's like it takes a lot of time just to even get that posted. And
This automates the process. I'm sure there's other companies out there that do it. I just happen to support the podcast and I use them for all of my stuff. But, I post stuff all the time. I get people to subscribe to my list. I don't know who they are. I don't know where they are. They just want to follow the law firm. They want to follow the podcast, whatever happens to be. But it's, I don't know, it's $80, $90 a month or something. But it's the kind of thing like you make the content, then you give it to them. You don't know what they do with it. You know, you don't know if they repurpose it, if they post it again, if they just don't do that.
Okay.
So I think that that's one of the challenges. And I think that a lot of people don't know what to do. Like they could hire you to do the content, but then they don't know what to do after that. You know, they have somebody help them post and whatever, which you don't want to do, obviously.
Yeah, I definitely don't get into actually like the physical, you know, posting of content. But I do, you know, coach authors, like especially like if I've had authors come to me where, they wanted to pitch themselves as an author of articles online. So I did like more like coaching sessions around that. So we talked, I taught them basically how to do that on their own.
Kind of guide them through the process.
Exactly. Like I helped them brainstorm some ideas and places to pitch.
Yeah.
And we came up with like a nice, you know, a good pitch to send out. But then they were going to, you know, work on that on their own.
Like a public relations campaign for the book.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's a really great thing that authors can do too, is, you know, pitching, you know, smaller articles or maybe like an excerpt from their book.
Right.
And try to get it placed on somebody's website.
Or speak on the topic they're writing about, that type of thing.
Exactly. Yep. And just like, you know, raises their platform as an author and gets people to learn their name and
definitely
gets more people's eyes on the book.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, writing is a challenge for a lot of people, but they need the content. Like if you want to be relevant in the world, you know, somebody said to me earlier, we were on a call, a networking call. And they said, well, I asked somebody all their posts on Facebook and everything, does it get them business? And they said, no, not really. She says, I don't need to do that. I go, no, they're wrong. It does get them business. They just don't realize that it's gets them direct business. Like somebody sees the post and shares it with somebody else. And then somebody mentions it to somebody else. And then somebody's having a conversation and says, you know, another friend of mine just showed me, Lindsay, what was that post you showed me? Oh, you pull it up, you show it to me. And then I say, you ought to call this guy. He does, you know, whatever. That's how it happens. It doesn't happen where it's an ad on the highway and you pull over on the highway and you write down the guy's phone number and you call him right away. You might have to pass the billboard six times and then be home once and say, oh yeah, I got a speeding ticket. What was that guy's name on the billboard? So you do a search, you know, attorney, speeding tickets, billboard, and he pops up probably.
Yeah, no, definitely. And a lot of that content, like, you know, if you search for, you know, if somebody's thinking, like looking for like book editor and they might find me and they might find an article I wrote. And then, you know, that's how they're learning about like my expertise and like, you know, oh, she said all these great things in this article.
Right.
She was featured here. So it's kind of indirect what you're saying, you know, it's not a direct sale, but it is. You know, helping your business. And I think also too, you know, in social media, I feel like so many times, you know, we're looking for things that are not direct sale, like, oh, you know, buy this product or, you know, here are our services. So it's nice to be able to share kind of valued content that you know, shows off your expertise, but without being so sales oriented.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's soft selling. You're educating people, right, on whatever the topic is, which is actually what you do, right? You just do it for different people. And when they feel educated, they feel more comfortable, and then they can make a better decision as to whether they use your service or use your product, or they remember things and they tell other people when those other people, because I think like if you reach people on a post, let's say, right, 99% of those people don't need your service or your product right at that moment. Some of them may never need it, but a lot of them don't need it right when you hit them. It just doesn't work that way. 1%, I read that somewhere, like 1% of the people you're going to hit need your product or service right then. But you want the other ones to remember what it is you do later on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. And I guess if you're a good content writer anyway, it's good copy, compelling, memorable, funny, whatever, then that's advantageous. If you write, like, I hate to say it, but if you write crap, they're going to remember you for the guy who wrote the crappy article. You don't want them to remember that either.
Well, I did a presentation recently, and one of my tips, you know, to the audience was, just making sure to like proofread your work. You know, if you spend all this time, you know, writing an article or, you know, proofread it, or, you know,
right,
somebody on staff proofread it, or have a friend.
Right. There's typos all the times and things. There's no way that this person proofread this.
Yeah. Cause you know, you spend all that time to write the article and you want to make sure it's like really presenting you in the best way possible. It's
very tempting though. You're finished. Send. You're like, and I've done that in posts where I put it in a comment or something. I'm like, oh my God, I spelled my own name wrong. You know, you have to edit it. But those you can edit, you know. But yeah, that's so true. People don't take the time to read over what they're putting out there. You got to be a little careful about it. But
I've had, you know, small business owners, you know, similar to the writing, you know, send me blog post articles and you'll go, oh, you know, for proofread. That's one of the services I do. And, you know, that way, I think too, like, you know, we always find a second set of eyes finds things that we don't
all find. The time. Oh my God. Your mind, after you've read something and worked on it for a long time, it's already changed words in your mind.
Exactly.
Like that sentence is wrong, but your brain fixed it. So you think it's correct on the page. And then 2 days later, you go back to it and you're like, I didn't write that.
Exactly.
Because your mind doesn't work. A good advice to parents, and I do this too, and I'm not an English person like you are. Your children should never be submitting anything in writing to their teachers without you looking at it. Because I've read stuff, I'll be like, the tense is all wrong. This word spelled wrong. You left out a T. It's not, it says he, it's supposed to be the, you know, she, he, because they don't see it either. You know, that's just the way your mind works.
Yeah, I always recommend too, you know, I completely agree with what you just said. And I also always recommend, you know, no matter what you're writing, like come back to it a few days later and you'll see it differently. And, you know, you'll see what's great about it. And then you'll notice some things that you should change. And you just get better, you know, especially if you have the time. Obviously, sometimes we're just trying to get something out because it's, you know, needs to be out then.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something. That's what I hate. When people call me and they say, Mitch, I need a contract. Can you get it to me tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, but it won't be good. They're like, what do you mean? There's a process to writing a contract. Like, I'll write the contract and then I'll come back to it later on and reread it and say, no, I don't like that. I'll change language. And if you're in a disputer, there's something going on. Language is very important. And it may not be the most important thing in a blog article. Like, you know, look, you don't want there to be typos in anything that you write, but if they write it, it won't end their life. But if I screw something up in a contract, it could be serious. So I don't like writing under pressure. I want to go back to it two or three times just for what you said, because your mind like fixes things in front of you. And then you later on, you look at it, you're like, how did I even write that?
Yeah. Like how did I not notice that?
Right. But it was there the whole time, but your mind changes things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your memory. It's the same thing. You ever swear to God that you were with somebody on some particular day and they're like, Lindsay, we did not go to coffee that day. That day we went to pizza. And you're like, are you sure? And you swear that that's the case. And then you realize it was coffee with someone else, because your mind has a way of like mushing things together. That's kind of how we work. But that's why they work with a professional like you, because you have the discipline. Let's call it a discipline, right? You have the discipline and the skills to do things, like you said, systematically, to make sure that you get a better result than the average person. That's what makes you a professional as a writer and as a copywriter. It's not like something like, I can do that. Sure, you can do it. You can also write your own contracts and do your own legal work. But generally, I hate to say it, but when you're in trouble, there's always a problem with the contract. Always a problem with the contract. And I'm sure 9 times out of 10, if you read something that people did, right, previously, you're going to find something wrong with it. Something you would have changed. Something would have sounded a little bit better. Something would have been a little bit more compelling. They should give you a try ahead of time, not after.
Yeah, no, I always, anytime somebody sends me something, I always find there's always something.
Always.
I always try to also offer like suggestions to make it more engaging, or, you know, like, you know, even if it's really great and it just needs some kind of grammatical error changing and different like typo changes and things like that. You know, I can always give some ideas to make it even better too.
So how can people try you out or interact with you? How do they reach you? We'll put stuff in the show notes, but how can they find you?
Okay. So on Facebook, I have a Facebook page that I update regularly, and I share information about different things that I'm doing, like this podcast, and different talks I'm doing and my services.
Okay.
So you just look at Lindsay Noel Publishing Services on Facebook.
I guess Noel's your middle name?
And yep, Noel's my middle name.
Okay. That's better than Mac, because you had told me, and I see it, it's Mac is M-A-C-H, not M-A-C-K, but it's pronounced Mac, so they probably wouldn't find you with Mac.
Yeah, and I get all the time, everybody thinks it's Mock. So
Mock, yeah, okay. Well, if they spell it that way, they'll find you then. Yeah.
So yeah, and then also, you know, I would love to answer questions for anyone. My email address is Lindsay with an E, E-Y, at lnpublishingservices.com.
Okay, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes too.
Okay, great. And then, yeah, I you know, anyone has interest in working with me or just wants more information, I do a free, you know, 30-minute conference call where we go over kind of the project, what you're looking for, and I can
meet
each other.
Okay.
You know, I love working with authors of all different types of material and, you know, small business owners.
Do you work with people if they're just starting out, like they want to write a book and they don't even know how to get started? You'll do a free consult with them and talk to them about ideas and see if they want to move forward?
Exactly. Yep. Definitely, you know, first-time authors, self-published authors. I also work with, you know, traditionally published authors who just need, you know, extra help, especially in things like book marketing. Maybe, you know, they have somebody at the publishing company they're working with, but need some help kind of implementing some of the things on their end. So I'm available for things like that too.
Okay, great. So I appreciate coming on. We've spent almost an hour together. It goes fast.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.